Welcome to the radio ministry of Clearview Church in Henderson, where our goal is to make Christ visible. Clearview is a place of genuine worship with ministries for all age groups and all peoples. For more information, visit us at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abidan Shaw.
We're in our series on love from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 called Love is the Greatest. This is the concluding message, and the message is titled Love is Liberating. If you keep up with politics, I'm sure you've heard the name of Congressman Sam Johnson. He has been serving in the House since 1991 from Plano, Texas. Is an Air Force veteran, and he was a POW in Vietnam for 7 years. But he was in the infamous prison in Vietnam known as the Hanoi Hilton or Hell's Hole. In recalling his experience, he says this: starvation, isolation, and torture were constant companions. There was no news from home, and the enemy worked hard to make us feel alone and forgotten. And he describes one of the torture treatments that were used against him and many others. And he says this. He says, I could recall nothing from military survival training that explained the use of a meat hook suspended from the ceiling. He goes on and says, during a routine torture session, the Vietnamese tied a prisoner's hands and feet, then bound his hands to his ankles, sometimes behind the back, sometimes in front. The ropes were tightened to the point that you couldn't breathe. Then either bowed or bent in half, the prisoner was hoisted up onto the hook to hang by ropes. Guards would return at intervals to tighten them until all feeling was gone, and the prisoner's limb turned purple and swelled twice their normal size. This would go on for hours, sometimes even days on end. Now, Johnson went through this torture, this malnutrition, this horrible experience that even affected his body. If you've ever seen him, he's always stoop-shouldered, his right arm is mangled, and not even mentioning the fact that when his plane went down, his back was broken, several places his arm was broken. I mean, so many things were wrong with him. Imagine the pain and the suffering, and then being in that prison and hoisted up, and things are being done just to make your life more miserable. After 42 months in a dark, solitary cell with rats and filth, he was finally released. And he remembers the sweet embrace of his wife, Shirley, and their three kids. Now contrast the two feelings. Here he is in this dark prison cell when they are putting him through shame, through suffering, where they are suspecting him, so beat him some more so we can get some information. He is hiding something. You do know more. Where they are taking away hope from him. No one is coming for you. Might as well give up. To the feeling of coming out from that prison and seeing your wife and your children and feeling their embrace. No love, true love. The message this morning is love is liberating. There is no love when the environment is hate-filled, is suffocating. It exposes and shames the person. It suspects and doubts constantly. It only threatens. It doesn't give any hope. True love cannot function in that environment. True love only flourishes where there is true freedom. What does that freedom look like? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Means love is calming. Love does not envy, which means love is cheering. And I encourage you, if you haven't heard these messages, go back and listen to them. They're all available. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, means it's not proud and arrogant. Love is serving. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. Love is maturing. If you're hateful, if you talk down to people, if you're mean to them, that's not love. Mature people treat others with respect. Love does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. It doesn't press those buttons in the other person that you know will make them explode. And then say, ha, I knew that's inside of you. No. It allows you to disarm, knowing that you are in a safe zone. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love is purifying. And then today's message from verse 7. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The problem in the Corinthian church was the problem of love. They didn't know how to love each other properly. Paul wrote this letter to them, 1 Corinthians 13, to teach them how to love others, to love each other the way Christ loves us. In today's message, we're going to learn probably some of the most important lessons ever on love. You're going to learn this morning that you are never afraid of being exposed or being shamed where there is true love. You are never suspected and doubted where there is true love. You are never hopeless where there is true love. You are never threatened. Nobody says, I'm done with you where there is true love. In fact, when Christ is in our lives, Christ never exposes, he never suspects, he never discourages, and he never threatens us. So when Christ is in our life, that's how we begin to love others. Hopefully this will make more sense as we go further into this message. But let me ask you this question. How do you love people? Do you like to expose their weaknesses, their failures, their sins? Do you constantly suspect and doubt the motives of the ones you love? Do you discourage and steal hope from the ones you love? Do you threaten them? Do you give up on them? Do you tell them constantly, if this happens, I am done? Because that's not true love. This morning, you may be able to love people, but the God kind of love only comes when you receive Jesus in your life. When He is your Savior, He gives you much more than what we receive as human beings. When we are born in this world, we are born in the image of God. Fallen image, but still we are able to love people. We have the capacity to love people. But to love people the Jesus way only comes when we receive Him as our Savior and the Holy Spirit pours God's love into our hearts. Now we can even love those who are unlovable. So the question really is not, how do you love people? The question is Jesus in your life? Are you a Christian? If not, I pray this morning as we walk through this, ask yourself, do I have Christ at the center of my life? And some of you may not even have Christ at all in your life, and you need to receive Him as your Savior. So let's begin. What we've been doing in this series, as many of you know, We are looking at the Greek words. We're going to the original language. The New Testament was written in Greek. We're going to the original language to see what Paul meant by the words he used in this section. So the first statement is, love bears all things. The Greek word for bears is stege. It comes from the noun stege, which means roof. The Corinthians knew what a roof was. In fact, 700 years before Paul came to them, they graduated, so to speak, from using thatched roofs, you know, roofs made out of hay, to using roofs, tiles, these fired tiles. They were huge. They were 60 pounds apiece. Why do you think they moved from thatched roof to tiled roofs? Because of fire hazard. I mean, all it takes is one house over here to catch fire. Next thing you know, the wind takes it to the next. In a matter of seconds, the entire cities are burned. So they moved to this. 700 years before Christ, they were using tiled, fired tiled roofs. They were durable. They were very protective. They protected those who were living in the house from the elements. I mean, imagine what would happen right now if we would remove the roof. Now, today's a good day. But it was 4 days ago when we had our mini blizzard. Imagine sitting in this place and it's 22 degrees, or it's raining, or it's snowing. When Paul says, love bears all, he's really saying love always covers. Now keep in mind, the word was now beginning to be used to convey the idea of covering, of sheltering, of protecting, of keeping out, of keeping in. You know, the roof not only keeps the elements out, but it also keeps some elements in. For example, a fireplace. Imagine a fireplace, there is no roof, so the heat just keeps escaping. The point is this. Love does not find pleasure in exposing others to harshness. Love does not get joy in watching the other person squirm in fear or shame. The Corinthians loved to do that to each other. You know why? Because that was part of their culture. Very competitive, very status-seeking. So this was okay. If he's your enemy or he is ahead of you, expose his weakness so you can move ahead. The problem was they got saved, but they still had this behavior of exposing each other, their fears, their weaknesses, their shame. The point is this, do you cover people or do you love to expose them? Now, I'm not suggesting that if somebody is doing something illegal or something wrong that you say, oh, it's okay, let's cover. What I am suggesting this morning is what Peter also said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. He said, above all things, have fervent love for one another, because love will cover a multitude of sins. The second statement, love believes all things. The Greek word for believes is pisteuē, which has the idea of trust in others. Again, in the Corinthian culture, it was very competitive, very status-seeking. You never know who is going to stab you in the back. So don't, he's a little shifty over there. Don't trust him. Don't even trust your own family. You never know what they'll do to you. And unfortunately, this mindset got into the church. So when Paul tells them, love believes all things, he was really saying, love does not live in the zone of perpetual suspicion, but is willing to trust others. If this is the house, the way I would draw it would be like this. Imagine this is the ground. Here is the foundation. Love always trusts. Trust is the foundation of any relationship. If I stop trusting you, I can't love you anymore. Let me ask you this morning, here's the point. If you constantly operate as some kind of a KGB agent, always frisking people, always looking over your shoulder, always questioning the motives of this and that and the other, I will tell you this morning, you will never be able to love people. Your relationships will always be short-lived, sporadic, and seasonal. Nothing ever lasts too long. Why? Because they broke your trust. Because they broke your trust. Because they broke your trust. It's always seasonal. You keep moving. By the way, please get used to the idea that people will fail you. Anybody knew that? You didn't know that? People will fail you. People will do things to you. And they will break your trust. That is part of life. And I know this is a tough message for some of you because you've gone through a relationship when someone really broke your trust. And I do understand that. But folks, do you think God wants you to live in this suspicion zone forever? You know, this is only one life. There's only one chance you get at this life. Why in the world would you like to live always distrusting people? Trust is the foundation of all relationship. Without it, there is no love. But let's move on to number three. Love covers all. Love always trusts. Love hopes all things. The Greek word for hopes is elpidze, which has the idea of expectation and wish. It is always looking forward with hope. Something is coming. This is not all there is to it. You can do better. You will be better. Now, people often misunderstand trust and hope, or faith and hope. They are related, but they are not the same. They're related in the sense that, and I listened very carefully this morning because I'm going to go a little deep, because they're both looking at something that is invisible and unprovable. Faith and hope. They're both looking at something that is invisible, unprovable, but they are distinct. How do you know that? Because Paul says, now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest is love. Because there's a difference. What is the difference? The difference is this. Faith is what you can see, but you're standing on it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know, there's a foundation to this building. You can't see it, but it's there. This is faith, substance, something you're standing on. Can't see it, is there. What is hope? Hope is what you can see, but you're looking for it. If faith is the foundation that you cannot see, but you're standing on it, hope is the window through which you are looking for something that hasn't come yet. Love always looks for something better, looks for a better you, looks for what God has in store for you. You take away hope, this becomes a prison cell. Oh, we got the covering. Oh, yes, yes. We protect our. We always protect our kids. We're always, always covering them. We're always. Oh, we have trust. She trusts me. I can give anything to her. But if you don't have the windows looking out, there's something better coming in our marriage, in our children's life, in the church, in the community. This becomes a prison cell, and love begins to die. I'll give you this illustration. In the past few years, the Robertson family from West Monroe, Louisiana, has become pretty much world famous. Y'all know who I'm talking about? Duck Commander. Oh, yes, I know now. They came from some very humble background and went through some very difficult times. If you've read the other books, all that they went through in their life, it's only by the grace of God they've made it. But Willie Robertson, in the first book, Duck Commander Family, in the opening chapter, the prologue actually, listen to what he says. Listen carefully. The dinner table is where I learned to follow my dreams. This is where Dad told us he was going to start the Commander, and where I told my family I was getting married and heading off to college. Our hopes and aspirations were never shot down. Did you hear that? Our hopes and aspirations. I don't know how, why it is that when we get old, we like to say, it ain't going to work. Our hopes and aspirations were never shot down, never debated, only encouraged. We might have been eating fried bologna at the time because that was all we could afford. But there was hope. There was hope that one day we would be feasting on a big, fat ribeye steak. The point is this. The windows were open. The doors were open. Light came in. Love always hopes. It's always looking forward. I don't know where you guys are this morning, but I'll tell you this. We've heard a lot of messages growing up. We have our favorite preachers. We have our favorite commentaries. We have our favorite shows. We have all the biblical stuff. What breaks my heart, many years ago, I said, God, why is it that it's still not working? Sometimes I think we're giving out a lot of our ideas than the Word of God. The Word of God will never fail. This is the truth that Paul is telling them. Love always covers. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. It doesn't shoot down the hopes and aspirations of those whom it loves. Let me ask you, are you a hope giver or are you a hope stealer? The fourth and final statement. Love endures all things. The Greek word for endures is hupomene, which has the idea of being patient. It has the idea of remaining. It has the idea of enduring. It has the idea of standing firm. Now, when I say standing firm, I'm not talking about being unreasonable. Standing firm here in this context is not about my way or the highway. Here, when you're saying standing firm, it is saying always there. You know, if we didn't have these walls here, what do you think would happen? I mean, by the laws of physics, the whole thing will collapse, right? If you go through to ancient archaeological sites, the one thing that's always standing are the walls. You need this. It supports the rest of it. The roof is important. The foundation is critical. The windows bring light and hope, but the walls, they are what protect you from the elements. In other words, love does not give up, doesn't run out when things get tough. You know, in a culture like Corinthians, when things didn't work out with one person, you know what you do? Go to the next. And if they hurt you, if they say something wrong to you, move on. Go to the next one. And if they don't work out, move on to the next one. Keep going. You don't need them. Listen to what Paul said. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. You know what was happening in their church? If Paul made them angry, we're with Apollos now. Oh, Apollos heard their... We're with Peter now. Peter, we're with Jesus. Move on. Find someone better. You don't need them in your life. You can survive without them. Paul says to them, love always endures. It takes it and it takes it and it keeps taking it. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm going to clarify. There are times when you have to cut relationships because of abuse. There may be physical abuse, there may be sexual abuse, there may be emotional, mental abuse. I'm not talking about abusive situations, so please go ahead and take that category out. But many times, what I'm referring to is when you love other people, you should be willing to bear with their faults and their failures without pointing them out and without shoving them in their face. When you love somebody, be prepared to be hurt. They will hurt you. It's the nature of being a human. You know, someone told me this years ago, hurting people hurt people. When someone is hurt, guess what they want to do? They want to hurt whoever is closest to them. And if you happen to be close to them, guess what they're going to do? They're going to hurt you. If you can only remember, it is not about you. What they did to you, what they said to you, how they talked to you, how they turned on you, is not about you. They're hurting. Endure. Take it. How will they be healed if you don't stick around? This morning, are you willing to endure? Are you willing to look over the failures and the hang-ups of those who are hurting and they're doing things and saying things to you? Again, not talking about abusive situations. Are you willing to cut others some slack? It is part of true love. How can you have this kind of love? Now, if I were to end this message here and say, okay, from here on, always cover, always trust, always hope, always be there. All it'll take is one person doing one thing wrong to you and the house will collapse or turn into a prison. You have to insert something here. You have to replace the word love with Jesus. Jesus always covers. He will never expose you. He will never shame you. That's who he is. Jesus always trusts. You know, can you imagine working with those disciples? And he says, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom, boys. Jesus always looks for, when Peter failed him, he didn't say, Peter, I can't trust you. He said, well, Peter, when you get your act together, come lead them. They need you. Because I know you're going to get it together. Jesus always is there. What does the Bible say about him? What did he say? I'll never leave you. I'm always there. You need Jesus in your life to have this kind of love. If you do have Christ in your life, think of yourself as a prison warden. You got four keys to four cells in your life. Cell number one is exposure. This is where you have inmates who are afraid that one day you're going to expose them, or you're already doing that. Today you need to set them free and tell them that you will always cover them. Cell number two are inmates who are living there because you have put them in a suspicion cell. Today you're going to have to set them free and say you wouldn't doubt them. Cell number three, pessimism, where you will have to set some inmates free and tell them that you see a bright day in their future. Cell number four are those that you have threatened. You'll have to set them free and tell them you're not leaving. You won't give up on them because love never fails. This morning, the question that I'm asking myself, I get it, but is this happening in my life? Are people in my life living in freedom? Or have I chained them up? Because today I need to set them free. Because love is liberating.
Thank you so much for joining us for the conclusion of our series, Love is the Greatest. In today's message, we learned that true love is liberating. It doesn't bind people, but it gives them freedom to be what God has called them to be. For more information about this series, please visit our website at clearviewbc.org. And for today's sermon notes, as well as all the sermon notes from the series, please visit my blog site at abidanshaw.com.